church is going to function. The Book of Common Prayer set up this uniform worship. And in contrast to the Lutheran and Calvinian movements, the Church of England from the beginning was little interested in theology. They wanted the uniform liturgy. So a new act of uniformity, the Second Book of Common Prayer of Edward VI, it's called, was established, and it is the basis of the present prayer book of in England. It was more Protestant in its wording. It was the work of Cranmer and Ridley, one of the great documents in the history of the church, a devotional classic. Look at this last statement, underline it. More than the Bible, the Second Book of Common Prayer of Edward VI was the book upon which the English Reformation was based. Got that? The first book was too Catholic for Cranmer's taste, and so they made it more Protestant. The second prayer book, while Edward was king, so it's called the Second Prayer Book of Edward VI. It became that document which more than any other defined and in a real sense, every student in a real sense, created the Church of England.
This is evolving into the Anglican. Or
yes, and becoming the Anglican or Episcopal Church as we think of it.
Maybe you'll touch on this later, but the Episcopal Church today seems to have rooted back more to Catholicism.
We're going to talk about there's not one Episcopal Church, there's really three, high, middle, and low church. Some of it has, right, the high church. Okay, then Parliament drew up what's called the 42 Articles in 1552. It was a brief confession of faith. Later it was reduced to 39, which is a simple and non-theological, underline that, presentation of the faith of the Church of England. In no way did it represent the kind of theological definition found in the Formula of Concord, Lutheran. They are mildly Calvinistic, and these 39 articles are still found in the Episcopal Prayer Books. Kind of theological reformation you saw in Zurich and Zwingli? Absolutely not. They went all the way. Got this? It is the Via Media, the middle way, the compromise. Is it really Catholic? No. Is it really Protestant? No. What is it? Both? Neither? Hard to say. Am I teaching you anything? Even today, in the present form, what is the Episcopal Church? Is it Protestant? Well, not exactly, kind of. Or is it Catholic? Well, in a manner of speaking, what is it? Well, it's both. No, it's neither. What is it? It's hard to say. Get the point? That's what it was. And it started out like with Henry VIII, you see. He had a Church of England. What was it? If you say it's Roman, you're beheaded. If you say it's Protestant, you're burned. What is it? It's the Church of England. It's the grand anomaly. If you think in terms of Roman Catholic, and you follow me, and Protestant, and if by Protestant you mean what you see in Germany and Switzerland and Scotland, then it's not Protestant. But it's got to be Protestant. Why? It's not Catholic. The Church of England became Protestant only in the sense that it was not Catholic. Was it Catholic? Well, if you mean Roman Catholic, no. Do they have apostolic succession? Yes. Do they have a pope? Y'all getting the idea?
Yeah.
That's why it's called Via Media, the middle way. Listen, the Church of England comes to be, now it's going to change its shape here. We're not through with it yet. So, but we're going to see, it comes to be neither Catholic nor Protestant, both Catholic and Protestant. Kind of both, a little bit of neither. It's the middle way. Yes, Laurie. See, it's kind of, and what it is, it's in the middle, and it kind of goes both ways at various times. Okay, let's get, then, what happened when Edward died? Mary, another came to the throne, and we know her as Bloody Mary. She came to the throne. She was the oldest daughter of Henry VIII and Catherine. She was the one who lived, unfortunately, some would say. Now, what would you expect her religion to be? Her mother was the daughter of the King of Spain. She was as Catholic as, she was more Catholic than the Pope, really. She came to the throne, and she was mattered hop. She had been branded illegitimate by the church, not by the Pope, but by the Church of England. And when she came to the throne, she was going to restore England to Rome or die trying. And keep in mind that the Reformation had not filtered down to the common people. It had all been done in Parliament. A lot of the country had been declared Protestant. Mary simply declared the Church of England is now under the Roman Pontiff. Got that? She simply declared that England, and she restored legally by decree. Church of England is now Roman again. And therefore, she burned, and she only didn't reign very long, 5 years, mercifully. During the last 2 years of her reign, she burned approximately 300 Protestants at the stake. Now, And they gave her the epithet Bloody Mary because she burned, she killed 300 Protestants. Now listen, as Protestants go, as burning people go, 300 wasn't very much. When you think of what happened in Germany, when you think of what happened to the Huguenots in France, think about that. Think of the Huguenots in France. Think of the Anabaptists. Bloody Mary, because, as I say, many Protestant leaders fled to the continent. This is when John Knox left. Remember, we studied that last week, or earlier in the week. Although I say, well, this was not a particularly large number, because of when it was, because of the age, because these were leading men. Because things had changed. This really. Even though, listen to me, the common people were not won over yet to Protestant theology, most of them never were. This, at the time it came and the way it happened, this really struck the people as being gory, as being the thing that should not have been done. You know, it just really had an impact way above its numbers because of the age. Why? Well, because the people were not ready for that. It was, and to have the Spanish, this daughter of the King of Spain, the granddaughter of the King of Spain, kill Englishmen. It's one thing, you see, if one Englishman killed 5,000 English heretics, that would have been bad, but to have a Spaniard killing 300 leading Englishmen, that's good. You understand? Depends on the setting. I point out in America, You can have, if today one worker died of radioactive poisoning in a nuclear power plant, and one worker died today in a nuclear power plant, the media would go crazy. It would be written up, there would be commissions, the liberals in Congress would pitch a hissy. There would be a furor raised, demand that we... And yet today, alcohol will kill several thousand people. And nobody says a word. Seven people die in a spacecraft at one time. And it becomes a national tragedy. 7,000 people can die, one here and one there, on the highways, or drugs, alcoholism, or drugs. And, you know, there's no logic to death. A baby Fage is at the heart of the baboon, and she dies. And it's written up, and there's mourning, and little children write letters. On the day that baby Faye died, several hundred of the unborn were killed. And who mourned them? See what I'm saying? It just depends on how you look at it, and what mood you're in, and what your cultural assumptions are. The illogic of death. Am I making sense to you? We're part of the same thing. And so, what I'm trying to help you understand is, without going into all the details, she was called Bloody Mary, but by what we've been studying the last few days, it didn't seem bloody at all. 300, doesn't it? Do you understand? It didn't seem like anything. But it was just the way that the timing of it, and the national mood, when this granddaughter of Spain killed these Englishmen, it really helped the referendum. As one author put it, look at this. This is a statement. The English people have never been able to get the fires of Smithfield out of their nostrils. That's where they were burned. 300 completely were burned. The English people have never been able to get that stench out of their nose. Back then, even though the common... Stories of the martyrdoms was written up by Fox. Should be were written up. And his book was rightly written. Remember Fox's Book of Martyrs? It came out, and people all of a sudden became very indignant about this. All of a sudden. Anyway. Among those burned were bishops Latimer and Ridley. These were bishops of the Church of England who were Protestant. Mary had them put to death. Latimer is recorded as saying to his companion, this is one of the great stories in church history. Latimer is recorded as saying to his companion at the stake, they could see one another, and they were setting them on fire, and he says, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace." Well, whether he said it or not, he could have said it. And even if he didn't say it, it was true. Mary lit a fire, when she set Latimer and Ridley and these other men on fire at Smithfield. That could never be put out in England. Cranmer was in a dilemma. Cranmer had been convinced that the sovereign of England was the rightful head of the church. That was fine, as long as it was Edward. He was Protestant. But Mary was... See, you understand, theologically he felt he should support Mary, and yet he couldn't. He was uncertain, and he recanted some of his beliefs. But they put him in jail anyway, and in his cell he could hear the groans of the martyrs and smell their burning flesh. He had signed a recantation. But Mary didn't trust him, and she was going to have him burned anyway. and he did this at the stake. He repudiated his recantations. He was ashamed of himself. And he held out the hand, with which he had signed his recantations, and let the fire devour it first. This offending hand. Well, that's quite dramatic, isn't it? You know, with Latimer and Ridley and Cranmer holding out the hand, recanting his recantation. And, Mary died. Look at this, leaving England more Protestant than she found it. And the burnings did much to sway them away from ties to Rome. You all got that? Mary made a fundamental mistake. What I'm saying is this, when Mary came to the doctrines have been changed. If Mary had done it right, she probably could have kept Rome, England, Rome, at least stood a better chance. But by her frontal assault and by killing these 300 leading Englishmen, the Archbishop, and the fact that she was part Spanish, she was never got out of their nose, and she did much to help England move toward the Protestant camp, away from, if not away from Roman theology, away from Rome. Any questions? Yes.
This is the same Mary that Elizabeth killed, right?
No. The Mary that Elizabeth killed was Mary, Queen of Scots, was another Mary. She was the one heir to the throne of England, and of Scotland and England. But that was a different Mary. Mary, Queen of Scots, was a different. She, listen to me. Mary, Queen of Scots, here to help you get straight in mind. Mary, Queen of Scots, was of the royal family of France. Remember that? Bloody Mary, as we know her, was of the royal family of Spain. It's very, you're to be forgiven, Tim, because it's very common, because all these family connections, how did one, the royal family of one country, at least we think of it, have claim to the throne of another country? But you see, these nations are just emerging. These were all families, they were all kinds of, through these marriages, you see, this is the one in between Henry and Catherine. Of course, today, there's a drink called the Bloody Mary, which is vodka and tomato juice, you know, and called Bloody Mary, named for her. Her name has been perpetuated through the drink. Have a good weekend, y'all.
Kills more people than she
did. Yeah, that's right.